This episode of TMS is sponsored by BetterHelp. They offer online counseling and therapy with licensed therapists from wherever you are around your schedule. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's convenient, affordable therapy through text, chat, phone, or video. And we've got a special offer for our listeners. Try BetterHelp free for 1 week and start communicating with a therapist in under 24 hours. Visit BetterHelp.com/TMS to get started. That's BetterHelp.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, it's 5 a.m. and I smell like bully sticks.
What are you wearing this Halloween?
Bully sticks. The liver burger trade.
Listen to this weird noise.
So long, and thanks for the pizza.
It's a very Shatner time of year.
Jury duty and more on this episode of A Billless TMS.
It's yours?
No,
I'm... Mother said she found it in your closet.
I don't know, one of the guys was...
Lost the what?
Look, Dad, it's
Where
not...
Where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs... have children who use drugs.
This must be a typo.
The Vaughn and Stream. The Vaughn and Stream. The Vaughn and Stream. The Vaughn and Stream. Vaughn and Stream. Vaughn and Stream. Vaughn and Stream.
Talent in the can, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Morning Stream. This is The Morning Stream, TMS for short. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett, September 25th, 2018. Hi, Brian.
Hi, it's Brian for short also.
Brian for short. No, you
Brian
go like
short.
Bri or something like that, right?
I hate that.
Okay.
Well, it's, no, I don't hate that. There's really no nicknames that I hate, but my mom hated that. She hated that so much that when she found out that my kindergarten teacher, oh, and what was her name?
Florence V.B. Hendermonker.
Are you really going to try and guess my teacher's name? She found out that the teacher was calling me Bri. She went to the school and said, his name is Brian.
You really? She Brian. Went and put yes. a, put a stop to that?
She put a stop to that.
Wow.
Exactly.
Not an unexpected turn of events there.
I know. Yeah. I know. I don't mind Bri.
No, Bri's all right. I'll still call you Brian, though, if that's okay, if you don't mind.
Totally fine.
Okay.
Yeah, there's really not a way. It's funny. The reason was, she said that she picked the name Brian because you couldn't do, like, Briny or, you know, any sort of, like, nicknames like you can with Mikey and Davey and Joey and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
Good point. There's no Bri.
Bri's not that kinda... there's anything wrong with Mikey, Davey, and Joey.
No, those are all fine names. If you guys all go by those names, we're not here to judge. We're not here to do that.
Judgy.
So I got a funny thing I found yesterday that I just thought you might like.
Okay.
You know, you enjoyed that Halt and Catch Fire show, right?
I enjoyed it greatly.
You know, yes. The sales executive bald guy that was super annoyed in the beginning season when what's his name came, got the job, and then kind of screwed everything up.
Yeah, that's hold on, I know his name. Because he actually does like Frank Sinatra style covers. What's his name?
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
This is going to be even more interesting then.
We've played him on the show.
Do you remember his name?
No.
Okay, hold on.
Dang it.
I bet I can find it.
Yeah, I mean, he was in all the seasons.
His Texan name is guy. Toby Huss.
Toby Huss, that's exactly right, yes.
Now, what's great about Toby Huss is this additional piece of information. First of all, he's great on that Halt and Catch Fire deal. He's great on there.
Yeah.
But he is also the voice of not just Cotton Hill on King of the Hill, Hank Hill's dad, Cotton Hill.
Yeah, right.
Hank's wife, you can, you know, that guy.
Yes.
He is also the voice of Khan, Sumba Fupa Susan
really?
Fung. Yeah, so he's that guy. And he's the voice of, I forgot the other one. There's a third thing he's the voice of, and I forgot on the show. But anyway, he's like all up in that King of the Hill stuff doing all these voices. What a multi-talented dude. He's singing covers,
he really is.
Doing voices, being on TV. Well done, Toby Huss.
Yeah, I'm going to give you, let's see if I can find it quickly. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, he did a cover of the Dead Kennedys' California Uber Alles that we played on the show a while back. I'm going to put a copy of it really quick. Oh, you know what? I'll put it in... what happens if I put it in Discord? Does it go faster than...
probably. You can try it.
Let's try it. There it is right there.
Yeah, there it is. I can play it right now.
One, two, three, four.
Oh, this election blows. It's like Mr. Pussy Grabber and what's...
Didn't know you were going to have all this talking at the top of it. That's grand.
Oh, yeah. Well, he talks about, yeah. It just came out. Right.
Here we go.
Uberalis, California. Uberalis.
I kind of can hear Cotton Hill as he does it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's weird. Well, anyway.
Yeah, he's got his opinions on the election as well.
Yeah, he doesn't...
mince words?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Do we need to edit that out?
Is no. No. Dude, we elected a guy who said it out loud. Yeah, I think we can just let that stay.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine now. Everybody can say it. All right. Hey, here's a thing. Here's a deal. Everyone's always like, Scott, I so long to hear how it's going with the dog. And got a couple of pieces of news for you. One, her and Rainer are best pals now. They just wrestle and play, and there's no growling or trying to pretend like you got, you know, turf wars or any of that. They're just getting along.
They've
no
worked
problem.
It out.
Yes.
Of course.
Although Rainer does this funny thing. I wish I had a video of this. But if, and I'll get to Bully Sticks in a minute. I've got a bone to pick with Bully Sticks. If Boomer's got a bully stick sticking out of her mouth, kind of cigar style.
Yeah.
Rainer will walk up and very gently reach her neck out. Bite onto the end of that bully stick, pull it out of Boomer's mouth, and trot off with it. She's kind of an a-hole.
It right out. Yeah,
kind of an a-hole, turns out, Rainer is. Anyway, but they get along. There's no fighting. There's no arguing. There's no yelping. It's all just wrestle and have fun and then fall asleep because you're tired from it. They both walk well together. Like, that's all going great, guys. Going great.
Yeah, Daisy and Ruby used to do that together as well. Like, Ruby would walk around with one of those bones in her mouth, and Daisy would just wait and, you know, figure out the best time and just yoink.
Yep. You don't get right out, take it for their own. That's how dogs roll. Well, here's what sucks.
Okay.
Last night, I took both dogs out to pee and do their business when I usually do. We try to do it right before around 9, so they go to bed around 9, the dogs do. Get in their kennels, fall asleep. They both live in little crates at night. They like it in there. They usually go in there themselves. They'll just wander in there when they know it's time, and they'll fall asleep in there even with the door open. So, you know, it's not like we're locking them away. They just like it in there. And usually around 7:30, one of them will start going, and you let them out, and they got to pee real bad or whatever. Not this morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 a.m., I hear, like that, coming out of the other room. And I'm like, gosh dang it, dude. So I go out there at 5 o'clock, take the dog out. It's dark. She does her business. I go back in. I'm thinking maybe I'll just put her back in her kennel, and I'll get another hour of sleep or something. No, not having it, because now Rainer's all worked up, because she's like, well, you can't let her out and not let me out, bro. So I let her out, do her business. Then I give them their freaking breakfast at 5 a.m., 5:30, whatever it was. And then I watched them wrestle for the next half an hour. And then I just, I went and jogged and came home, and here I am doing a show. So thanks, dogs. I guess they're prepping me, because I got to get up at like, I don't know, 3:30 on Friday morning for our flight.
Wow, for that flight?
Yeah. Well, the flight's at 7, so...
Yeah, but you have to be at the airport a couple hours ahead.
Yeah,
and
so we have to be there at 5, so I'm thinking maybe 4. We could probably do 4, but yeah.
Jeez.
Just getting used to it now. Yeah, it's going to suck. I'll take a nap later. That sounds great, Jeannie. Oh, it does sound good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't fall asleep. I watched a couple episodes of Luke Cage, season 2.
Yeah.
And fell asleep finally at 12, woke up again at 4, couldn't get back to sleep, went to the bathroom, came back, watched another couple episodes of Luke Cage.
And here you are now.
And here I am now, yes. Wow. I've got coffee.
Yeah.
Extra shot.
Luke Cage on the mind.
Luke Cage on the mind.
How is that second season? How are we doing there with that?
It's good. There is a great scene in the second episode that's set to music. You remember that scene from Legion, first season of Legion, that was set to Bolero?
Oh, right.
Where all this stuff is going on in different places.
Loved that. It was so cool.
And it's all set to the music of Bolero. There's a scene that's set to this jazz guitar number in the second episode that is really well done. Not quite as good as Bolero and Legion, but this one's still really, really good.
I like when they do that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool deal. Well, I'll have to check it out. I thought the first season was okay. I can't say I was chomping at the bit for a season two, but I'll get in. Why not?
It's you know, Mahershala Ali was one of the best things about season one, and and I can't remember her name. It was just on the top of my tongue.
Where did Mahershala Ali go? He's doing that new season of True Detective, right? Is that his next deal?
Yes,
or something?
That's right. Yes, he is.
Yeah, that has me excited again for that show since season two is so bad. I'm excited for them to kind of get back to.
Oh, totally. Yeah, Alfred Woodard. Great in the first season, great in the second season too.
She's always good.
She really is. Yeah. Actually, you know, looking at the list here, I mean, Rosario Dawson is fantastic. Theo Rossi is that kind of thug, Shades, the one with the sunglasses or the shades, I guess.
Yeah.
and Mike Coulter just makes a great, you know, brings that character to life for me. Just you know, where I'm not missing the tiara and the bracelets.
No. Yeah.
And the chain for a belt.
Does he wear super yellow shirts in this though? Like a yellow t-shirt?
No, he hasn't yet. You know, every once in a while there's like a little fan service. Like there's a fight where he does fight with somebody with a chain, and it's kind of like But. No, you pretty much get all that fan service at the very beginning, that first episode when they give you his origin story.
Yeah.
And he's in that chamber and comes out with the tiara and the...
oh my gosh, dude.
The bracelet.
So bad. By the way, Rosario Dawson has become like the connective tissue on all those shows.
She is.
She's in all of them, man. She is.
And I'm hoping that at some point she would be the perfect crossover into... the MCU films, you know, just like have her helping somebody out in New York, Tony Stark or something like that. Just so there's that little connective tissue between the Netflix stuff and the MCU films.
Sure. The Netflix stuff began when they did the first Daredevil season. There were references to like Stark Tower and you'd see it in the background. They talked about
the incident all the time.
Yeah, the New York incident. But then they stopped. Like they all just sort of seem like they're in their own place now. It'd be nice to bring some of that back maybe.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
You know, with the Infinity War situation, you'd think that that there would be more.
Oh, speaking of Coulson, they say he's the Coulson in the chat room, the Coulson of the Netflix group. I would agree. Yeah. That Coulson guy, the actor who plays him, what's his name?
Clark Gregg.
Clark Gregg. I just watched a two-part of West Wing with my wife, and he's all up in that. Forgot he was on there. He's in every that I'm telling you. Stephen Tobolowsky showed up yesterday in an episode.
Yeah,
everybody's been on the West Wing. Yeah, like I'm surprised you and I haven't been on the West Wing. There's so many people.
Look again. I bet we're in a couple episodes.
Yeah, we might be. So much fun watching that again. Anyway, so here's the bully stick problem though. We had we had a big discussion about the bully sticks and how they're good for dogs because dogs can actually digest this material. And yeah, it's a bull penis, ho, right, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's still meat, and it's like jerky, and it's fine, and it's better than the hide stuff, because that's just them eating...
stuff that doesn't digest.
Yeah, like leather. It's like
a lot easier and
skin that won't go down and makes them sick and stuff. So we were all in on that and thought that was great, and it's bully sticks for everyone. Well, here's the problem. I hadn't realized, because usually we give it to them outside or in a place where it's a big kind of open room. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I gave the puppy one in our bedroom, which is relatively closed. Those things freaking stink.
They do. I was going to say, did they roll one under the couch? And it's like, what is that smell? I can't find the smell.
It was just her eating it. And I'm going, what is that? Did she poo? Like, what is this? It was so bad. It smelled like rotting flesh or something. And
you'd think bull penis would smell better.
You'd think. Yeah, dried bull penis.
Nice one would think.
Fresh scent, you'd expect. But at the end of the day, here's what we're doing. We're out of them anyway, so we're ordering a kind off of the Amazon there, you know, the big Amazon store there. they're gonna send us, or we purchased the next bag of these are supposed to be scent-free, smell-free bully sticks. I don't know if they've been bleached or if they've been... These were hygienic bulls. I don't know what's going on there, but we're going to find out.
I'm curious. I mean, it feels like the smell would probably be better than whatever chemical or whatever they're doing.
To get rid of it?
Yeah.
Well, right? We'll find out. I'll review them right here on the show. They're supposed to be smell-free bully sticks. And it's to the point that I bet a bull would see one and go, I see nothing here that offends me. That's what a bull would do. So I'll let you guys know how that goes. Hey, I got a fun little thing for us.
Let me know how the soak in water, let us know how it smells.
I will. So you and I are going to be in BlizzCon for Halloween.
We are in Anaheim.
Anaheim. And the reason we're going to be there is because of BlizzCon.
Right.
Now, that means...
Did you say, we're going to be in BlizzCon for Halloween, and the reason we're going to be there is because of BlizzCon.
Oh, that's right. We're going to be... What did I say? We'd be at BlizzCon for... Yeah, you're right.
BlizzCon, I said Anaheim.
Yeah, when you said Anaheim, it threw me off and made me feel like I said Anaheim, but I didn't. You did. Anyway, so I thought it'd be fun, though, to look at what would be, in the year 2018, the top Halloween costumes for the year.
Okay. Oh, I think I want to guess at one of these or guess at some of these, because I've decided that if I'm going to do any sort of costume, mm-hmm. it needs to be as minimal as possible because I've got to actually travel with it. I'm going to be flying on Halloween itself.
Oh, my Lord. Like you'd be on the plane in a costume? That's your thinking?
Well, that would be my thinking. So, I mean, obviously it would be something like dude with a funny hat was my costume, something like that. Although the one I came up with was Peter from Deadpool 2, you know, the guy who saw the ad.
Yeah.
Because I could just shave the mustache.
Yeah.
I'd need a wig, but I could wear the goggles and the plaid shirt.
I still haven't seen that movie. I only know of that character, but I haven't seen.
What?
I know. I still haven't seen too, dude. Still haven't done.
What's the matter with you?
I had many things, but that's one of them. All right. Well, we'll see what you do there.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So let's see.
Here are the top 10 according to Glamour.com. By the way, they have a mention here of the Spice Girls. Apparently that's a thing that's coming back. And so groups of girls are going as Spice Girls. Now this may.
Maybe touring again.
Oh, is that true?
Uh-huh. They might be reuniting for a tour, and they'll be doing it without Victoria.
Yeah, Posh Spice doesn't roll with them anymore.
She can't really sing that well.
No, she was never. She was really just there because she was a really cute one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And now she has a tattooed man to stay with.
right, yes. Anyway.
So Brian is going as the Spice Girls, all of them. We'll see how that goes.
That's right. I'll be going as Old Spice.
This is mostly for girls, by the way. I should have mentioned that. But I figured,
Glamour Magazine.
Yeah, Glamour Magazine, glamour.com. Number 10, a cow. It says here in 10th place, Pinterest and List deems cow this year's hottest hipster Halloween look. This is according to Doja's Cat's Moo, which is some article. Anyway, so it's more ironic than internet-y than literal farm animal inspired. I can't read what she's saying there. According to Pinterest, pins for cow makeup and costume inspiration have increased 680% year over year. On List, L-Y-S-T, I've never even heard of this, page views for cow printed material have gone up by 138% in the last month alone. It appears so, cow costumes are coming, man.
So it's because of this video, this video called Moo by Doja Cat, which I'd never heard of until this article. So I don't know if that just
means... Let's take a look at it. Who is this person? Do we know her? She says Moo Moo a lot. She's not wearing a lot.
She wears a cow print.
Yeah, she's dancing. I feel like I missed a viral thing that's dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all right not knowing about this.
I am too. I think I'm 100% cool not knowing about it. Nice anime boob backdrop there, lady. That's great. Okay, so, well, I guess she's responsible. Cow costumes are coming. Boom. Frida Kahlo. Kahlo. Frida Kahlo. Sorry, Frida Kahlo. Now, this is the one eyebrowed lady, right?
Yes.
She's the one that she has the one eyebrow.
Santa Fe artist.
From
the 50s?
Long time ago. There's a movie called Frida about it. And her...
Salma Hayek.
Yeah. And her
I haven't seen, or else I probably know what year she was.
And her big determining factor is she's got a big one eyebrow just across the forehead. Yeah. That's what you do there. So when people dress up as her, here's my promise. Big eyebrow. That's what's going on.
That's all. That's all. So, and there you go. There's another costume you can wear on an airplane.
Yes. This is according to Pinterest. There have been 55% increase in Frida-related costume searches. So people searching for costumes and her. Honestly.
Oh, see, and I thought she was from New Mexico because I saw like two galleries, two Frida Kahlo galleries in Santa Fe.
Well, I thought she was from Mexico. Yeah, similar country. Yeah, I guess Mexico. I never saw Frida. I couldn't get past the Bert Muppet eyebrow. I couldn't do it. Next up, you have the Cosmic Fairy at number 8. Says you can put these celestial makeup skills to work on October 31st. Pinterest and List foresee the cosmic trend in beauty and fashion to combine with a classic fairy Halloween costume in 2018. Searches for astro-related terms increased 33% over last year on Pinterest, while star print apparel has gotten over 10,000 searches a month on List. Now, I will show you an image, Chad, of what they're talking about. This is very, walk up to what's-her-name in Yellow Brick Road movie and say, would you like to follow me down the road? Like, it's that kind of fairy. It's like a big, big goofy 1920s-looking fairy that we...
Right, yeah, like Kylie Minogue in Moulin Rouge.
Yes, basically. There you go, like that.
Yes, like there that kind of fairy.
I liked her in that. She was great in that. Here's
I saw some George O'Keefe galleries in Santa Fe as well, Yay Fiber. I mean, I know the difference between George O'Keefe and Frida Kahlo.
Yeah.
I went to art school.
Yeah, he knows what's
up.
Had a
whole season of, or whole season, whole semester of art history, which...
A season. My favorite season of college.
I know. Maybe I watch too much television. Maybe this whole binge thing is just getting out of hand with my mind.
Could be. ABBA Dancing Queen outfits. You can dance, you can jive, and you too can be a dynamo this Halloween. Disco look has been trending more broadly. List reports the searches for pattern flares and the platform shoes have gone up 210% since June. But Mamma Mia specifically has been driving a lot of costume inspiration. That sequel, I guess, right? Isn't there a sequel? Mamma Mia 2?
Yeah, it's the new one with Cher. Yeah, here we go again. This is the first one on the list that I actually believe we'd see some of. I'll bet you you don't see any Frida Kahlos walking around. You don't see any cosmic fairies walking around. But I'm sure you're going to see people in 70s, like matching 70s ABBA attire.
Oh, yeah. I think that's guaranteed. Where did you disappeared for some reason? Why? Hold on.
Nope, your audio just went janky wanky.
Yeah, I did something that made everything go weird.
Are you watching the first Mamma Mia?
No.
Streaming on Netflix right now while you're doing the show?
No. I have no desire to see either Mamma Mia movie. They don't speak to me.
No.
Edna from The Incredibles is apparently a popular choice. Again, they're mostly focused on women here. So I don't think we're going to have a bunch of little boys dressed as Edna. But don't be surprised if you come across many looking like her. 669% increase in searches for Edna Mode-inspired fashions. So that's a big deal. Also, a flamingo. People want to be a flamingo.
I think they're just throwing darts at a board now.
Well, yeah, that's what they say. How about this one?
The hottest costume for 2018 is going to be the flamingo.
It is kind of like that. Okay, how about this one? You believe this one? A Wakanda female warrior from Black Panther.
Okay, now this I believe.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Now is it gonna be
shave
is
your
it
head and there's you know
is it is it easy. Is it dis is it what level of discomfort is it if a white lady dresses up like a Wakanda warrior? That's trouble, right?
That's maybe about 47% on the uncomfortable scale.
Okay. Because if you're... Okay, chat room, what do you think? What do you guys say?
what percentage?
98%.
98% says they're delusional.
Yeah, I think people would be a little uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so this is one of those cases where... I have no problem with Nick Fury changing races. They could do it 5 more times. Sure. I could care less. It's about how you write your character that matters to me. I don't care about his race. But Wakanda and Black Panther and that entire arc has always been about being black. That's the point of it. And it needs to stay that way, I think. So if someone did that, I'd be a little bit more, it would bother me. But if some black kid dressed up like Captain America, 2 thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Go for it. It's got nothing to do with Captain America's race.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think, I'd get looked at for multiple reasons if I dressed up as Luke Cage, for example.
You should do it.
Oh, Brian's bald. He should be Luke Cage.
No, you should totally do it. Do it.
I'm not going to be Luke Cage.
Oh, man. Brian, yellow t-shirt, tiara, weird boots. Make it happen.
I did Nick Fury a few years ago. but I did the original Jack Kirby. I guess actually he's even predated that. Who was it? It was Steranko. Jim Steranko and Nick Fury.
Did you wear the eye patch and all that?
Had the eye patch and the wig with the white sideburns on it. Or not sideburns, but the little white sides.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I only had the black trench coat, so I had to kind of merge it a little bit with current Nick Fury.
I can see that. Next up, we have a 90s icon in the form of all your friends dressing up, like we mentioned, as the Spice Girls. That's a big deal. So,
sure.
Tommy Hilfiger clothes and, you know, all that kind of crap. Number three, a 90s icon of some sort, like, for example, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Or, let's see. What's another one? I'm trying to think of some others that people might want to be. But the 90s are all in again, dude. Have you noticed? They're starting to talk about the 90s.
So bring out your Vanilla Ice outfits, your parachute pants to do the hammer dance.
That whole thing's coming back. Watch out, everyone. Two Live Crew coming at you. Well, maybe not. and then number two, they wrote here, anything Riverdale.
Yeah, I might call BS on this one, too.
It says, Pinterest reports saves for Riverdale-related costumes increased 316%. I mean, if you're like 22 and you're at a party, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, but what, aside from Jughead and the beanie that kind of a little bit sort of looks like the crown he had in the comics, maybe a little bit if you squint kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just angsty millennials, right?
I agree. I completely agree. I don't think there's any costume there.
I guess Josie and the Pussycats, she had ears for hats because that's in the song.
Oh, right. And that was spawned out of the Archie stuff, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I forget. I always forget that. And same with the Sabrina the Teenage Witch deal. She's a thing from that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to cross over because that's... is that also CW or is that on a different network?
I actually don't know. What is this
the
on?
The Shipka.
Can anyone know what the is there? It's they're like doing it in the Riverdale.
Yeah, I mean, it's modernized and edgy.
Okay, I mean I haven't checked it out or anything. I have no idea, but we're not saying teenagers are millennials. We're not saying that. Okay.
No, Cam Kipper says no crossover. So the new Sabrina show will not be tied into the CW Riververse.
I wonder if she'll be doing it too.
I don't know. Oh, it's going to be on Netflix. So the answer is yes.
Oh, all right.
But there won't be any nudity. That would be if it was on HBO.
Right. Showtime, maybe. Maybe Showtime.
Right. Yes.
Skinamax. The number one they say here for the number one pick for this year's female Halloween costume, Tanya Harding, specifically from I, Tanya. They talked about how layered the movie was and how good it was. Pinterest searches for Tanya Harding have gone up by 720%. List highlights that skater shirts and bejeweled leotards have consistently trended on the platform in 2018. Look for a lot of Tanya Harding. So the way you do that is she shows up at the door in a full skater outfit, but has like a pipe in one of her hands.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, she didn't do it. She didn't do it.
No,
it
turns out she didn't do it.
But. It is kind of funny, though. People are going to be dressing as Tanya Harding, specifically from I, Tanya. Wouldn't they be, you know, you're dressing like Tanya Harding from the early 90s.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's people
maybe
inspired
by I, Tanya, but that was an actress lady named Margot performing as Tanya Harding.
Yes. Margot Robbie. She's an Australian. That movie's really good. If you guys have not bothered to see I, Tanya, it was one of my favorite movies of last year. Fan-freaking-tastic. And I should have. Everything about that stuff, I hate that stuff normally. Not interested. Like, this is like reality TV taken to movie-level stuff. It's like, come on, dude. Not interested. Complete opposite reaction. And you're right. Winter Soldier guy, whatever his name is. What's his name?
Yeah, Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian Stan, the guy with two first names. He's amazing.
He's really good.
And CJ Craig from The West Wing blew my mind in this. She is incredible. She deserved that Oscar. And she should get more. She's amazing in it. Anyway, that's your 10.
All right.
So, Brian, I want to see you on a flight as a Wakandan warrior. Okay.
I'll do it. Yeah, that would probably be the one that would just go super well getting through TSA.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm a Wakandan warrior. Do you need me to put my sword and my shield, my spear and my shield on the belt?
Yeah.
Or can I walk through with the...
Yeah. Would it be okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Ninja Steve in the chat wanted to make a quick point. He says it's super annoying when people conflate millennial with kids these days, since the youngest millennials are in their 20s. Makes a good point. It's a little too easy. What we need is a new name for these idiots. So what kind of new name do we have? What do we have for the sub-20s? Like Nick's era, what are they? We call them the Fortniters. We call them the
Fortniters.
I don't know what to call them.
That's like solitaire.
It is like solitaire. It's like Grandpa Solitaire, Fortnite, in so many ways. All right, Brian, tell me.
Fortniters. Oh, I kind of dig that, actually.
Tell me about the Maker Room, and how soon are you going to turn it into your own YouTube sensation?
Dude, it's coming together. The filament shelf is done. Again, I'm printing right now, and you'd have no idea because it's all happening over there. But got a table for putting together shipments, because right now we were having to kind of clear off kitchen tables to get that done and work there. And I don't know. It's coming together very nicely and quiet and cat likes it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
there's no art on the walls. I need art on the walls.
You don't have any art on the walls. Get some art on the walls.
I'm going to get some art on the walls. That has to that happened after, you know, I figure out where everything was going to go so that if something had to move, then I'd have a better place for it.
I want
to
play. Can I play some sounds that I've heard in there? We have a secret recording in there. Do you want to hear what that sounds
you do?
Like?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we had a microphone placed. In fact, you can hear that. It's a little bit of rumbling there. Okay. And we got some kind of electrical sounds. So this is normally, and Brian, you know, he's a very meticulous craftsman, always making for, you know, so it has a clean area, all of that. And, and then this happened. All right. Well, I don't know what to make of it.
I was wondering what was happening there.
Yeah.
I'm sure I farted in that room.
I was trying to find a more subtle
picking
fart.
Picking up some of those heavy tables.
I need a more subtle fart. That was not quite as loud like you were right on the mic.
I've been telling everybody.
No, sorry.
There's an old fart.
No, here it comes.
No. No. No.
Do snakes fart?
No. I mean, yes, but. No.
Pizza.
No, I can't. Look. I can't
you just
find
don't
one
own
one.
Any subtle farts on
I
your
can't
soundboard.
Find one. All right, but when you're done, though, you should take pictures and everything. Let people see the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally will.
Put a camera in there or something. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like that.
Yes, I've got a camera on the 3D printer itself so I can see what it's doing, but that's it.
Well.
I should have one a wider view so you can see me in there.
Get with the program,
fixing
man.
The damn filament again.
If the chat room would like to know the answer to the question that's currently happening in there, they want to know how many fart clips I have. I can tell you. You want to know?
Yeah.
This is how many files I have with the word fart in it. And it could be some have words, some have farts.
Sure.
I have a total of... Hold on a second. We have a grand total of... why won't it tell me? I thought it would tell me. It's not saying. Okay, I don't know. But I can tell you it's over 200 or so.
Wow,
yeah,
really?
I have a
over
lot of fart sounds.
Jeez.
So many fart sounds. It's really bad. Oh, that would have been better. That one.
A little short one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this one?
I'm over 72.
I'm 12.
I do like that we could, it's almost a game. Like, was this a fart sound made with a mouth or was this a fart sound made with a butt? Like, have a little guessing game. Because I think some of those you just played were really, absolutely were butt farts.
Oh, for sure. Some people, I think, actually record these things and put them on the internet because they're weird. Later in the show, Justin Robert Young will be joining us. Bill is out of town or had an appointment or something, some kind of appointment. So he's not here. But Justin will be here. Perhaps he can help us make sense of all the weirdness now that keeps escalating around Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court and whether he might win or not. He said some funny stuff on an interview yesterday that I have to ask Justin about. So
yeah.
Very interesting.
I just want the opportunity to
beep, boop, beep.
Plead my innocence and protect my family's integrity.
No one has ever touched my wiener. Right. So we'll get to all that here in a bit. But first, It's the news.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news, brought to you by
Shell's Bubblegum Decor, handcrafted pillows with vinyl designs for gamers, geeks, and the everyday Joe and Jolene. That was in all caps, by the way. Check out her Facebook page, Shell's Bubblegum Decor, where chic, geek, and unique meet. Ships to Canada and the U.S. That's facebook.com/Shell's Bubblegum Decor, and that's Shell, C-H-E-L-L-E-S, as in Michelle's without the meh.
Yeah, like Shell. Like, hey, Shell, what's going on? Yeah, it's like Shell, a short for like Michelle.
Yeah,
I like it.
Like Shell, the video game character.
That's right. Where chic, geek, and unique meat. I wish that was spelled like meat, like the kind you eat, because that would be even cooler, that line.
Chic, we go there to buy your chic, your geek, and your unique meat.
And your unique meat.
Here's a badger.
Unique meat is good. All right, let's dive in here.
Speaking of unique meat.
Yeah, we forgot to talk about this yesterday. Or we didn't forget. We ran out of time.
We ran out of time.
I bumped it. But a man has donated his liver to his father, which is super cool. That's great. Nice thing to do. You got to give away one. It's great. As a result, he is getting Whataburger, which I've never eaten because we don't have them here.
Yeah.
But I hear they're great.
You've never made it to, like, Texas where they have them?
Mm-mm, never. Well, when I've been in Texas, we just didn't ever go or think about it or whatever. Are they there? Do you guys have them in Colorado?
They're all over. No, none in Colorado. They're in. They've got them in Albuquerque. Arkansas, Texas.
What? I screwed up. The chat room's telling. I'm thinking kidneys. You're right. There aren't two livers. I got it.
Oh, I didn't even hear you say that.
I got it.
All right. So, yeah, here you go. Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida. Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas.
We'll bring them up here.
Your Whataburgers.
Bring them up.
You got Arizona. How far is? Let's see here. Avondale, Arizona. Can you get to Avondale?
Is that near?
Quickly?
Is that near?
Just shoot down the 17 down to.
That's about eight.
Avondale. I'm sorry.
About nine hours probably. It's about 12 to Phoenix. So something like
that. There you go.
A little bit of a ways to go for a burger.
Glendale may be closer.
Yeah, Glendale may not be too bad. If it's something you get
not worth it for a Whataburger.
No. Yeah, I'm not driving all that time for that. Put one in Vegas, I'll go there. That'd be fine.
There you go.
Anyway, a man donated his liver to his father. Now wait, hold on. Now this is starting to be weird. How do you live without your own liver?
You just have to have a what's the device they hook you up to that filters your blood for you?
It's a dialysis.
Dialysis. No, that's for kidneys, isn't it?
Is it?
There's a thing that.
You can donate a piece of your liver. They take some of your liver.
Donate part of your liver. Okay.
Okay, just the tip. All right. So here's the deal. Living donor liver transplant surgeries are the most complex kind performed in the abdomen, according to the university transplant surgeon, Dr. Taranut Jeet Kher. Taranutjeet, is that what you'd say?
Taranjeet. Man with no first names.
It says, at a ceremony Friday celebrating Hawkins' donation and the recovery of him and his stepfather, Whataburger awarded Hawkins a gift basket of orange and white goodies and a free Whataburger for a year. Hawkins donated the majority of his liver. Well, the majority, geez, Louises. Maybe he's just like, you know, I don't drink, I eat healthy.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, if you're not a drinker, then that's,
You just hope you don't end up with, like, some other medication down the road, because it's the same problem.
Right.
Like, you need your liver to process stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to take a lot of Tylenol, because your liver primarily is the organ that will push acetaminophen through it, and it's not really good for it long term. So, I don't know. Like, giving part of your liver is pretty hardcore. Like, a kidney, it's like you got another one. Sure, you've just ruined your redundancy, but you got one. You can pee.
Yeah, because it's part of your liver. That's why it's Whataburger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it was like a kidney, a whole kidney, that'd be like Red Robin.
Yeah. And if it was his heart, this would just be rude of Whataburger. This
would just be an insulting thing, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Here's some more artery clogging beef. Congratulations.
Right, yeah. I'm glad Budweiser didn't say, man donates part of his liver to father, gets Budweiser for a year.
Is that chat room? Is that true? Sean says livers can regenerate. Is that true?
Yeah, they regrow.
Are they like those lizards where they cut your head off and it grows back in a day or whatever? It's like that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a day, but it generates.
It's crazy. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, how does it know when to stop? You know what I mean? Why doesn't it just keep growing till the point you got just like a you know, a Doberman-sized liver in your gut?
Yeah, there's probably a really good answer to that. I don't know. I mean, I figure it's like when you cut the leg off a starfish and it regrows a leg, it doesn't like just grow a tree trunk out of there.
No, it doesn't. No, you're right. No, you're right. There, we have like a DNA blueprint for stuff, right? Is that the deal?
It gets as big as it needs to support the services that it supports.
Right, right. Gutter's a tool. That's called cancer. Yeah, you're right. Right. You're right. Exactly. It is. All right. Well, there's that. I love learning together, everybody. They did a ceremony.
We really do. Yeah, exactly.
They donated the majority of his liver. They did say it would regenerate back to its original size. Let's see. Donation was news to the doctor. Let's see. All the way up until he took us back. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so there you go. Full lifetime of not a lifetime. Hopefully you live more than a year. A year's worth of burgers.
I know. It just gets chintzier and chintzier, right? Mm. It's like... free Whataburger for a year.
For 1 year.
Hopefully only per week.
Yeah. Only half the size. The rest of the meal costs money. Yeah. There's all sorts of hidden language there.
Maybe his dad will donate part of his stomach back to him.
So he can
good idea. Eat all them Whataburgers.
Here's a length of my colon for your trouble.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right, Brian, I want you to hear this. I've not heard this yet. I've saved it for the show because I didn't want to blow it.
Cool.
Enjoy it together. But they're testing Tesla trucks. And I don't mean like pickup trucks. I mean like big...
like passenger trucks. You're talking about like semis.
Semis, yeah. Like across the country, you know, electric trucks. And we now know what they're going to sound like. And it's kind of nuts, according to this post on Electrek, which covers all electric vehicle stuff like that. This Tesla truck here, chat room, I'll give you a look at it. It looks like a normal truck, but the front's pretty sleek. That's a pretty cool looking front end on this thing. But, you know, normal trailer tractor looking thing. Here's what that sounds like when it accelerates. So here you go. Hold on. It's taking forever to load. Why? I figured it would be right away. Okay, this is great. This is the worst thing ever. By the way, its last stop was Colorado, and that's where they recorded this. So congratulations. It's a Colorado
country. Yeah, according to the article, Brush, Colorado, where my grandmother lives.
Yeah. This won't play. So why won't it play? This just spins because the internet is dumb. Let's try that again. I'm hitting play. And it just sort of hangs there. Well, that's the problem with me not checking it before, is I can't verify it works.
Aw.
Son of a... All right, I'm going to see if there's another connected article.
All right. In the meantime, I'm going to guess what the sound is like.
Okay, here we go. Well, here comes one driving by. Hold on.
Also, how long it takes to charge.
It's not very loud.
This is the guy, dude. What luck.
Okay, he's driving by. So far, it sounds like nothing. Oh, it sounds like a spaceship.
So they're going to unload the trailer.
Okay.
He asked me not to video the charging rig, so I'll respect that.
Okay, here we go. Coming around.
It's gorgeous. The engineers that go with them, they all are truck drivers.
I want to hear the truck, not you talking there, Jasper. Dumbass. All right, well, forget it. I was really excited about this. It's like
let
genuinely.
Down. I'm just, so let down.
Does it play for you? It's just spinning for me on the original link. It's just nothing there. Electric.
Boy, yeah, I'm getting the spinny half circle.
Yeah, what's the point? Oh my gosh! I saved it. Oh, okay. Somebody's got Pops and Recline has a video on YouTube. Let's see. Well, that's just really quiet. I want to hear it rev. I don't know what to make of that. I need to hear it because they had it just revving in a parking lot. That's what I want to hear. All right, it's fine.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, there you go. One day, those will be all over the American highways, and they will probably be self-driving at that point. We shall see.
Yes.
Oh, it stops.
Be hauling your UPS stuff across country going...
Yeah, totally. I didn't know this. It says a few days later, truck made it another 500-plus miles to Salt Lake City, stopped in the Tesla facility in Draper. I've seen that before, driven past it. And they got a video of that as well, showing it leaving, but nobody got it revving again. All right. Well done, everybody. Good job, Tesla. A I'm going to skip to this one. Check this out. William Shatner. You familiar with his work?
I am familiar.
Okay, great.
William Shatner.
Good.
Well, nobody helps him.
I think a lot of, you know what it turns out to be? A lot of people help him. That's what I think happens.
I think so, yes. Yeah,
I think the idea that nobody helps Shatner is now bullcrap. Here he is again.
Mr. Chekhov, I mean Billy.
Wait, that's not it. There you go.
Iron Man lives again.
Yeah, you're going to get some of that.
Nobody helps him.
You're going to get a whole lot of that for your holiday cheer. Because this year he's releasing an album called Shatner Claus. And it's literally his first Christmas / holiday album. Very
they
first.
They really didn't work hard on coming up with a title, did they?
They really phoned that one in. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Should they come up with a good, let's do a better one. This is so bad. Let's do another one.
Trek the Halls.
Oh my gosh, dude. Already and done.
That really is just off the top of my head.
That's a done. We're already done. hold on. I can't think of one as good as that. That's too good. I was going to do a T.J. Hooker one, and I can't think of one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, Trek the Halls. That's really good. All right, well, anyway, it's called Shatner Claus. It will feature such artists as himself, of course. I use the word artist lightly.
The artist, yeah.
Iggy Pop, Brad Paisley, Henry Rollins, to name a few. Yeah.
And Henry Rollins is in that, there's the Jingle Bells track that they've already released that has Henry Rollins.
Is it the Shatner track?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was one out. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
oh.
It's if you follow that link.
Is it at the bottom here? Must be, because I didn't look.
Yeah, I got a link to pre-order it. I didn't even get a link to like get an advanced copy like I usually do from labels.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how bummed I am.
Yeah, probably okay.
I didn't get the advance.
Probably okay, I'm thinking. Here, let's just get a taste of it. Let's skip ahead.
Way, belt on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to laugh and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point, though, right?
I know. You know when you're in Vegas in one of the mid to lower tier hotel casinos, you're walking through and they've got that section where there's like the souvenir shops that have the birds that fly around in circles on the top,
yeah,
and the plastic display case that has a ball with a raccoon tail that keeps hitting the sides and, yeah, clack, clack, clack. And then there's a karaoke, you know, where you can have a karaoke recorded onto DVD for you to take home and,
yep,
show the family.
Yep.
That's what
it.
That just
That's totally
like.
What that is. And Henry Rollins somehow agreed to be a part of it. That's fantastic. Here's the full list, everybody. And by the way, they say it includes rowdy beats and added sound effects of galloping horses that complement Shatner's exaggerated vocals.
Oh my God, do they really need to explain that?
Good Lord. Here's your track list. Jingle Bells featuring Henry Rollins, Blue Christmas featuring Brad Paisley, Little Drummer Boy featuring Joe Louis Walker, Winter Wonderland featuring Todd Rundgren and Artemis Pyle of Lynyrd Skynyrd fame. They had to put that in here to remind everyone that that's sure. where they were from. "Twas the Night Before Christmas" featuring Mel Collins of King Crimson. "Run, Rudolph, Run" featuring Elliot Easton from The Cars. "O Come, Emmanuel" from or featuring Rick Wakeman from Yes.
God, it's not even like Greg Hawkes or Rick Ocasek, or Ocasek as you're supposed to pronounce it, from, yeah, The Cars. It's Elliot Easton, who's a great guitarist, but not an identifiable guitarist. It's not like Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'm like, oh, hey, that sounds like Elliot Easton on that guitar.
Right. It's really weird. Yeah. How about this one? "Silver Bells" featuring Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull. That's cool. Right? "Sitting on a park bench." That'll be cool. Right.
"Skating on the thin ice."
This album is terrible.
"Shoppers walking with their presents." We could probably guess what that track is going to sound like, right?
Yeah, I think we got it. Also, there's a track in there called "One for You, One for Me," and I think that's an original, and it doesn't feature anyone but him, so I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't recognize that as a holiday standard.
"Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer" featuring Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. One of the beard guys. And I only know that because the drummer's name is Frank Beard, and he never had a beard. Right. So I love that about
him. He actually has been growing a little bit of scruff on the
bottom. Oh, has he got a beard now? Oh, yeah, that's too bad.
It's a bummer. It feels like he's breaking a cardinal rule of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Frank Beard should never grow a beard.
Yeah. Oh, Fred Schneider would be great, Tondragosa.
Oh, yes.
Why aren't
Schneider
they doing
that? Schneider
and Shatner? Oh.
I would pre-order that album today.
His check-in has last twice.
Silent Night featuring Iggy Pop. That'll be weird. Not sure how that'll sound. White Christmas with Judy Collins. And finally, Feliz Navidad featuring Danny Bender. Who the hell's that?
Don't know.
I know everyone else, but Danny Bender. Never heard of him.
Danny Bender.
So there you go. Look forward to it now. You can pre-order it wherever you get your music. And no way in hell I'm buying that. But you are, because you're Brian and you have to.
It is kind of a...
It's required.
Cover requirement. I may not play anything on the show, but I'll buy it and I'll listen to it. And if there's something that's like, wow, this is actually good, or this is so bad, it's not painful and it's good. But that's what I'm expecting. I'm thinking this is like torture Guantanamo Bay prisoners and stuff kind of level of bad.
Yeah, blare it all night. Tell us what you know. Yeah, probably right.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
Open sleigh.
Over the hills we go. Laughing all the way.
Nobody helps him.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, jury duty and some other stuff. But we got a song to play. It's an indie in the middle, and Brian's got it. What are we doing?
I do. This is fun. And it's, boy, has it got a little Irish kind of feel to it. This is Eric Val from an album that came out last year called My Gift, My Curse. And a lot of his music is just straight up rock and roll, like straight ahead, kind of what you'd expect rock and roll, you know, from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. But this song had a really cool kind of twinge to it. Really cool kind of Scottish-Irish twinge to it, so I decided this would be the one I'd play. Diverse music with a hard rock edge is how he's described and influenced by bands like Seven Dust, Shinedown, Marvin Gaye, Garth Brooks, Eric Clapton, Stone Sour, and Seether. He's got a classically trained voice, and his debut album came out in 2012. This, again, is from Beautiful Lie, which came out last year. Here is Steve Val.
All right. Check it out. We'll be right back.
I'm sorry, Eric Val.
Oh, Eric Val.
Eric Val. Eric Val. Yeah.
Looking back at the fact, time is fast, memories last, happiness and bitterness. Got
Hey guys, let's talk real quick about our new friends over at BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers online counseling and therapy with licensed therapists from wherever you are and around your schedule. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. And therapy is important. You guys listen to Therapy Thursdays with us right here on the show. You know how important it is to people's lives to have good help out there. And that's what these guys are providing. You want mental stability. You want to have a better outlook on life. You want to be able to get through your day. Well, maybe these guys can help you. It's convenient. 4 communication modes, text, chat, phone, and video. Available on desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Regular video and phone sessions, generally weekly, unless therapist schedules more. It's also very affordable. Costs only $35 to $65 a week, and financial aid is available. If you compare that to regular old therapy visits, you know that's very, very inexpensive. Professional counseling and therapy with licensed therapists. Their network offers broad expertise, which may not be locally available in your area otherwise. It's easy to change counselors if needed, so you can find the one that's right for you. It's secure, so your information stays private and stays confidential. We've got a special deal for you guys and just for our listeners. Try BetterHelp for free for 1 week. Start communicating with a therapist within under 24 hours. Go to BetterHelp.com/TMS and get started. That's BetterHelp.com/TMS. And we thank them for sponsoring the show. They're not a crisis line. They're licensed therapists. They've got great communication, and you can start right now. Again, that is BetterHelp.com/TMS. Go today.
Hadn't married Doug, I would still be pursuing my music, definitely. I would probably be, still involved in acting and, learning that. And, I probably would be down the same path that I am now, but I wouldn't have been blessed with this gift of, great success so early on.
You're fired.
They are all that is man. This is the Morning Stream.
All right. We're back, everybody. Hey, what's up?
That woman right there, she's what, an ASMR superstar or something?
No, it was what's her name? This is a big throwback. Remember the guy that married the dude, and he was 54 and she was 17.
Yeah, the dude from Lost.
Yeah,
yes,
that was right. Her she was
we haven't heard from them in forever.
Yeah, and that's an old clip. I just dug it up from the archives. But I assume they're not married anymore, right? They're not together, right? There's
no way. I think now that everyone, the world stopped looking at them, they probably got divorced.
When people stop looking at them, I'm not even sure they exist, to be honest.
You're fired.
Okay, great. Let's get in here with Justin. What do you say about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, I just have to add him. And I'm doing it this time without showing the world the link that you get into to be a part of our call. Because I don't want to do that anymore. Instead, I show just my fat head. Now I show us again. And now I play a thing, which goes a little something like this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, the one, the only, the strangely attractive Justin Robert Young.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Wow.
How are you?
He's even wearing himself on his shirt. That's the shirt with the photo of that old woman.
Oh, yeah.
That looked like Jerry.
Yeah, the first bearded lady.
Yeah.
That's right.
The chat room, I don't know, has been graced with that, so I'm going to bring up a separate window to show them, but that's a fantastic thing. I wish somebody could find some ancient like that that looked just like me. And I'm not saying, oh, yeah, this Civil War guy looks a little like Scott. There's a passing resemblance. This lady, this bearded lady, is you in a dress. Like, straight up.
Specifically with the beard as it is now.
Yeah.
Like, we have the same scraggly beard, me and Annie, ride or die.
Well, meanwhile, everybody finds a bald person on the internet and says, hey, is that Brian?
Yeah, no kidding. You get that a lot, even though it's never even close.
There have been a few that are like, wow, okay, that one kind of really does look like me. The one from this last weekend, I think it was the Kansas City game? It was some football game, and there was a dude in the crowd that was wearing a funny hat.
That looked like you? Well,
yeah, he was not the Kmart Brian Ibbett, he was the Rite Aid Brian Ibbett.
Oh. Right, I remember that one. The one that was at the football game was kind of like you. That looked like you. Well, Justin, it's our pleasure to host you here on the morning stream as we do on Tuesdays. We talk about a whole canopy of issues. And last night I said, hey, what's your topic preference? And it was kind of impossible for us to think of much else besides what's going on this week with this whole Kavanaugh deal. Now, we talked about it last week. And so I have some questions based on information that's arisen since we last spoke. Okay.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think we do have a lot to talk about. I mean, like the Rod Rosenstein thing was probably one of the funniest freakouts in recent memory, and probably one of the first in a long time that wasn't directly caused by Donald Trump. You know, it was apparently him being so terrified that he was going to get fired that he offered to quit over the weekend, and then was so scared about it that he drafted a press release about him quitting, which then got to the press, and then the press started calling him, and so then he got more freaked out and went to house thinking that he was going to get fired for leaking the fact that he was going to quit.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, just calm down, go home, like stop freaking out.
I didn't realize that it was, I guess I had it in my head that it was, so the claim was that he had said in some company or another that, And he has said since, and others have said, oh, he was just joking, but he had said something to the effect of, hey, we should do that 25th Amendment thing and, or, you know, figure out a way to impeach the president or, ha ha. Right.
So Friday, the New York Times puts out a big report based on the contemporaneous notes taken by the now fired Andrew McCabe of the FBI that, and then corroborated by, I guess, other notes and interviews from people in that circle that Rod Rosenstein, A, suggested somebody wearing a wire around the president, and two, trying to take a temperature of the room on who would be in. All right, just yes or no, informal, like just for laughs. What if we were going to organize a coup against the president and utilize the 25th Amendment to do it?
I've set up a straw poll online here, click this bit.ly link, and
you know, like just a goof, y'all, like we're just joshing, right? But if we were going to organize a coup against the president utilizing the 25th Amendment, which requires the majority of his cabinet to say that he's mentally unfit to serve, I mean, Y or N? Anyway, check one, TTYL. So
like if you say yes, share if you don't.
Yeah, share if you don't. His defense has been that he was joking. There has been pushback from some of the other sourcing on that he was definitely not joking.
Mm.
Regardless, apparently the reason why he wanted to quit over the weekend and told Chief of Staff John Kelly that he was going to quit or that he was offering his resignation was that he doesn't want to testify in front of Congress about it.
Yeah.
So that would suggest to me that he probably doesn't want to answer questions about it, which means him going up in front of Congress and saying, like, for real? You thought that was serious? Ha ha! Joke's on you, dorks! Like, I don't think that that's something that he wants to do. So, that was the story on Friday. He doesn't want to testify. He offered to resign. Whether or not he actually is fired or resigns is a very important distinction because it determines how the White House can replace him.
Right.
Just a totally insane poop show all throughout the morning that wasn't caused by Donald Trump. We used to have those.
Yeah.
And we had one again. Like a rare treat from back in the day.
Well, the minute I heard that he was going to meet with the president, which I guess happened or is happening.
No, who, by the way, was in New York.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to happen Thursday.
He'll offer to get fired or resign from John Kelly, who had apparently told him over the weekend, I can't do it. And also the chief, he's been talking extensively with Don McGahn, Donald Trump's counsel, who said, I can't accept that. This is way too politically charged for you to not do it right to the president. And the president's in New York.
Yeah.
So the president at the UN, and the president's like, we'll talk Thursday.
By the way,
is the same day as this hearing.
Yeah. He doesn't fire. For a guy whose catchphrase on TV was you're fired, he doesn't really fire people. He doesn't like it. He will, if he's really having a meeting in there, that's not a meeting to fire him. That's a meeting where it'll feel like he's not fired. And then someone else will do it.
I feel like he does fire people a lot. At least he did maybe during the first year. It seemed like people were getting
fired. He's not firing them, though.
The book on him, the book on him is he does not like interpersonal conflict.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's more likely when you are eyeball to eyeball and you offer your resignation, his initial instinct is to say, no, I need you.
Yeah.
You know, because now you've come and shown. I mean, I think no matter what you think of him, I don't think that there's any real way to look at Donald Trump other than he finds loyalty paramount, and loyalty is built on we need each other. I'm coming to you in a moment of weakness. That is how loyalty is kind of forged.
It's so a weird loyalty though, because he usually doesn't reciprocate, or there are plenty of examples where he doesn't reciprocate that loyalty.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think in general, politicians are probably, you have to kind of make your own little mafia coven. If you are going to ascend to the highest office of the land, it is a treacherous and perilous journey for which all of your hunting party will be tempted by riches and all manner of temptation.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of have a tight circle. Part of the reason why there's so much chaos is that he doesn't have a tight political circle. I think he has a fairly tight business circle. You hear a lot about his phone tree at the end of the night. He just gets on, he lies probably on his belly with his feet,
his legs up in the air, yeah,
right. Twirling the phone cord, talking to all of his buddies. But other than that, but I think like he doesn't have a tight political circle, which is why he had to pull in people that were, you know, scratch and dent replacement parts like Paul Manafort. And to be honest, Mike Pence, who prior to being the vice president was the guy who screwed up the Indiana pizza fiasco.
Mm.
Like that's how, like his political career exploded on the launch pad because he couldn't handle that. Was it pizza or cake? I can't remember.
Oh, it was cake. The people that wouldn't make cake for the gay couple.
Was cake right. In Colorado or was cake
it was
in?
Cake in Colorado. Yeah, the cake thing was here.
It was pizza in Indiana.
Oh, I didn't know it was pizza.
I'm having a hard time keeping my gay.
Somebody wouldn't make pizza for a gay person?
Yeah.
Boy.
I know. What's this
world coming to?
It makes me angry. It makes me angry because pizza is the best thing, and that's really rude. We shouldn't do that to people.
I can't remember exactly what the details were, but like that was something that where it's like Pence was. I remember when we first started PX3, I was getting emails from somebody that was in Indiana saying, hey, you're talking about all these people that are going to, you know, win the GOP nomination. Keep your eye on Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. Mike Pence is going to be the guy who's got it going on. And then in like 2 weeks later, he couldn't maneuver the gay pizza fiasco. And that was like just kind of a wrap, because it's like if you can't deal with that in a way that can make everybody happy. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, he did that. Chat room reminds me, Jay Calhoun. He passed some sort of something that was like a religious freedom law. I think it was tied to that pizza thing, and then was declared unconstitutional like immediately by all the courts.
That was it. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, but that's why I think there's been a lot of chaos throughout the Trump White House. Is that remember his first chief of staff was Reince Priebus, mm-hmm. who. Literally, his job was trying to keep Donald Trump from being president for a year.
Yeah.
You know, and he failed. And then he had to deal with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's like, you're great. Want to be my chief of staff? And he's like, cool.
Yeah. And then, there's some fun stories with him as well. But, all right. That's all well and good. My favorite thing this morning was a headline that in a recording of UN of Trump's UN speech. Saying there's never been a president in the first 2 years of office who has accomplished the things that we have ever in the history of our country. And people laughed in the U.S. Council. I don't think he was expecting that reaction, or if he was, he's probably fuming about it now. But a bunch of country representatives, like, straight up.
I think he laughed. Played it off. He certainly fanned it a little bit in the, like, I didn't think I was going to get that reaction, but okay.
Yeah.
got another laugh.
What reaction did you think he was going to get? You can't. Applause. You make a statement like that that is complete garbage statement that is not true in any sense.
I mean, also, I have no idea how that process operates. You have half the people in there that don't speak English that are getting things translated into their ears in you know, 2 seconds later. So who knows? I mean, it doesn't shock me that there's a bunch of people at the UN that would laugh at Donald Trump. There are many people in many places that would laugh at Donald Trump. Yeah. But I don't know. It's the UN, man. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? It is the UN. You're right.
It's a really tough audience.
It is a tough crowd. So all that being said, the other part of the current circus is this Kavanaugh deal. Yeah. And since we last spoke, there have been additional people coming out saying, hey, he was a problem in college as well, and here's what I saw, and here's what I witnessed, and a big freak out on both sides of, oh no, another one. This means this has to be, you can't vote yet. You must investigate. And the other side going, it's a smear campaign. Blah, blah, blah. All the things you expect. That's all going on. And then yesterday, this is the one I really want to talk to you about. Yesterday, that Andavetti or whatever his name is, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, that guy.
Yeah.
Claims
Avenatti.
Yeah, Avenatti. He claims
Tucker Carlson has coined him, the creepy porn lawyer.
Yeah, because all his clients are porn actresses. Anyway, I think he's a little weird too, but I have my own reasons. But anyway, that guy says he's got a new client that will, in the next day or so, come forward with a whole host of new accusations aimed at Brett Kavanaugh not having him be confirmed. I'm just curious what you make of all of that now that we're here. We started at the bottom and now we're here. What do we do? What's going to happen? What's your prediction? Because last week it was like, well, they've got the votes, so it doesn't matter. They've got the votes, but I don't know if they have the votes now.
I think if you were to do it today, you would still have the votes. I think Flake would probably drop, but I think Collins and Murkowski would probably still roll with it. And we're going to get to kind of a little bit more of the calculus in a second. But let's first talk about the accusations. We had 2 weeks ago, or what, a week and a half ago now, Dr. Blasey Ford, who was from, nice.
Oh, you're watching the stream. Shoot, I was trying to play a little joke without you knowing. Okay, go ahead, continue.
Yeah. Dr. Blasey Ford was a, came out and said that he, pushed her onto a bed, tried to fondle her. It was an attempted, or it was a sexual assault and an attempted rape. There was another dude in there, Mark Judge, who was his friend in high school, who jumped on them twice. And on the second time, she broke loose and ran away.
Right.
I said then that, and let me preface all of this by saying, in very clear terms, a 11th hour accusation in an all or nothing Supreme Court, drawn totally on political lines, nomination is a very bad place to have a nuanced conversation about sexual assault.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that, It is the volcanic vents, the underwater volcanic vents. What that is to life, this is to a nuanced conversation that is representative of people's feelings about sexual assault.
Right.
So when I say that the problem with her accusation is such, what I don't mean is that you should not believe survivors, or that this stuff doesn't happen, or that this instance didn't happen, right? All I'm saying is that she didn't have a date and she didn't have a year. And if you don't have a date and you don't have a year, and the only other person in the room says it didn't happen, and the other person obviously is going to say it didn't happen, then at the 11th hour of an all or nothing drawn on political lines situation, then it is unlikely to put the brakes on it. However, and I said on the day that the first Ronan Farrow thing came out, before we even knew her name, before we knew whether or not she was going to testify, I said, if another comes out now we have a 2x multiplier.
Right.
Because once is a claim you can roll through, two is a trend, and that's what we got on Sunday night. Another instance, this one not quite as sinister as the idea of an attempted rape, but certainly gross sexual conduct wherein he, in his freshman year at Yale, during a beer dorm party, put his penis in the face of another freshman.
Right.
And she pushed it away and accidentally touched it. She then said that this was something that was not only deeply upsetting to her in the moment, it was deeply upsetting because she was is a devout Catholic and didn't want to touch a penis until she was married.
I don't want to accidentally touch prep boy penis. Accidental penis is the worst. Nobody wants accidental penis.
I agree. I think reach across the aisle and come to that conclusion.
You didn't complain about Mitt.
Yeah, that's true. When I accidentally brushed against Mitt Romney, I didn't really complain. All right.
So
long
so
story,
that,
Chad.
That was the claim on Sunday. What Avenatti is saying, and he said this on Sunday as well, that he has another person that's not Deborah Ramirez. She's the Yale freshman, then the Yale freshman. Now she's a woman. That he has another client that is going to come forward in the next few days that will have another story. And specifically, it seems linked to basically the Georgetown prep in the early 80s culture, which is effectively a bunch of rich kids in the 80s at a private school acting like what you would imagine a bunch of rich kids in the 80s at a private school have acted like in every movie that features rich kids in the 80s.
Basically, Goodwill Hunting, Scent of a Woman. Yeah,
sure. Well, worse than that, it's more like Revenge of the Nerds or what's a better one? I can't think of a good example. But all those guys, the guys you hate, the blonde guy who pisses you off in the Karate Kid, it's those guys.
Usually played by James Spader or...
Yeah, and their dad gives them a BMW for their birthday, just all that stuff.
That's the thing there. Now, this is not a situation where I feel anybody is required to have any kind of context or to rein themselves in. The point of all this is for everybody to be whipped up into such a all or nothing berserker furor, because from the very beginning with the Kavanaugh thing, the one thing I told everybody was that this only ends if it becomes an absolute Wild West swinging from the chandeliers, poop literally hitting a literal fan, a crazy town insanity fest. And that's where we are now. So, do I think Kavanaugh will be a Supreme Court justice? At this point, like I said before, it's unlikely the more people that come out. Now, he did damage control last night, went on Fox News, said that none of this was true. And furthermore, in reaction to Avenatti's claim that he should be asked under oath whether or not he encountered any, and this is a quote from Michael Avenatti, any trains, quote unquote, that's a direct quote, or this is, I guess, his terms, gang rapes of women, he said that not only is it not true, but he was a virgin through high school and a virgin for many years thereafter.
Yeah.
He doesn't get specific, even when pressed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he declined to say how long many years were, which makes me think it might still be an unbroken.
But his quote of, I never had intercourse or anything close to it.
Yeah.
During any of that time, it's conceivable, but his yearbook is crazy filled with stuff that.
Right.
I'm not saying that everything you see in a yearbook is like hard evidence, but I am saying that FFFF one that I've now been schooled on what it means. And then the other one with...
You know, that's what Avenatti says it means.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. But my point is, like, and the other one, the alumni of the girl they all said they slept with, him and all his friends. He claimed to be one of them. And at the end of the day, it was just, oh, I just lightly kissed her at the end of a party or something. I don't remember, or whatever. This is all fine. All I'm saying is, if one more person comes out and they've got credible claims, what are you going to do? You can't vote for him. You just start over. Go find another judge. There's tons of them.
Yeah.
Go find another one.
That's all right. So let's get into those other vectors. So Murkowski and Collins are really the big players here. They are fringe votes. They are as pro-choice as it gets on the GOP. They like Kavanaugh and Kavanaugh's answers to them privately on whether or not he would immediately overturn Roe versus Wade if given the chance, because that is obviously the issue at stake, considering what the makeup of the court would be with another conservative justice on there.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't like another justice. They thought that the answer that other prospective justice gave was not something that they liked, and they were very critical, very openly.
Who, Gorsuch?
That other justice is Amy Coney Barrett.
Oh.
She's a woman. Mm. And if you are going to put somebody else up for nomination after we spend 2 weeks discussing whether or not a train is a gang rape, or whether or not the FFFFF 4th of July means indeed find them, French them, finger them, F them, and forget them, then a woman would be somebody optically that you would want to promote. And yet Murkowski and Collins, and I think probably anybody for whom Roe versus Wade is in a very important case, might be less pleased that Amy Coney Barrett would be on the Supreme Court. Because again, this is not just a job. This is a job for life.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So okay. So I mean, like, I guess here's the reason why I say that is because when you're like, oh, well, they can't vote for her, right?
Yeah.
Like, or sorry, they can't vote for him if there's somebody else. What they're thinking is not only do I think Brett Kavanaugh's a awful person, or do I even believe that all this stuff happened? It's also, do I want to be the person that puts on the Supreme Court justice that overturns Roe versus Wade? And I don't think he's necessarily going to do it out of ideology, but I kind of do think this lady's going to. And if this lady is going to be the person that will have the momentum going forward after Kavanaugh flames out, then this is my choice. It is not boo this guy. It is, do I want this lady?
Right. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know how it's going to go. It's going to be, but we haven't had anything like this since Anita Hill, really, as far as you know, people's interest in watching this thing and seeing how it all goes down. And I guess we don't know.
That was a pubic hair on a Coke can.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, right? But
well,
really,
and that was also adults. It was a direct superior, you know, being gross and impeding the career of somebody else and of a subordinate. You know, there are differences to it. And by the way, there's no, look, nobody remembers Harriet Myers. Harriet Myers was somebody that was up and got spiked, and then I forget whether or not it was either Samuel Alito or John Roberts that got the position when George W. Bush was putting people in there. So
yeah, the last time I remember anything other controversial was Robert Bork. Which was way...
Well, Bork literally got borked. Like his flame out was so ridiculous that he defined the term to get borked.
Right. Which is awesome. I was reading up on him yesterday, and I've forgotten he died, but he some of that history is very fascinating. But like Neil Gorsuch, who's now on the court, who just got nominated, we're 6 months from that or something? That just sort of happened, and no one thinks about it. Like, it was just a thing. You did it. He passed muster, and they got him in. So push Kavanaugh to the side, this freaking frat, dirty little wiener out kid who got drunk too much.
I do think that if Gorsuch was, if it were reversed, Gorsuch would have faced far more criticism. And who knows whether or not it would have been this criticism. But I think he would have faced a tougher test because this is a it was a surprise. Yeah. No one thought that Kennedy was definitely going to retire off the bench. This wasn't a death like it was in the case of Scalia.
Right.
So this is a tipping vote.
Right. Right. Well, I'm just saying, at the end of the day, just get somebody else. I don't want to hear Hatch talk anymore is my main thing. I freaking hate him so bad. Ah, he sucks. I hate my senator.
Right. Why do you have, Orrin Hatch is like, this is like his new skateboarding grandpa phase.
I hate the skateboarding grandpa phase.
Why do you hate the skateboarding grandpa phase?
I don't have
Orrin Hatch.
I don't even.
Now he plays Pogs and he's talking to you about. He's telling people he's going to snatch their wigs and it's lit, fam. And
if all of those things were true, I might like him a little more than I do. Cause
would you rather listen to Mitch McConnell than Orrin Hatch?
No. I'm not saying I like McConnell. I'm saying I've got my own two senators who are kind of peckerheads.
And oh, I see what you're just saying.
Yeah, they both kind of suck. And he's been in there longer than anybody. I'm glad he's finally retiring. Get the hell out of there. Let's get Mitt in there. Let's get Mittens in there, yo. Mm-hmm. Let's make it happen. Looks like it's going to happen. Anyway, all right, this is all good. Now, I'm going to guarantee Justin the following. He is now going to get to tell us anything he wants to about upcoming events, projects, cool stuff he's doing without any fear at all of me hanging up on him. In fact, he can hang up on me. I'm not doing it at all today.
It's your show.
I know.
It's your show.
I know.
You do whatever you want.
And that's.
By the way, yeah. If you want to make it a stalemate, I'll just keep talking. Like, that's not a problem for me.
Oh, I see. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use as best judgment as possible. I'm going to be the judge today.
And, I'm going to say, if you like political conversation, go ahead to thefreepoliticalnewsletter.com. And also, politics, politics, politics. This is a great time to be on that train. If you really like this kind of talk, you get 3 political podcasts a week by going to takepoliticsseriously.com and pledging at the $3 a week level. And if you're in the Bay Area, spend election night with me. We're going to be reviewing all the best commercials that have happened, and holy crap, have we gotten some amazing ones over the past 2 weeks. We're going to be reviewing all the gaffes, all the screw-ups, and we will have our own decision desk that will be announcing the actual results to the actual races at the Piano Fight Theater, 7 p.m. election night in lovely San Francisco.
Oh, that sounds really good. And they should follow you on Twitter, Justin R. Young, for details. And anywhere else they want to go, any place else they should go. Bye. I hung up on him, now he's gone.
I was desperately trying to see if I had the ability to hang up on him just to surprise both of you. Like, wait a minute.
As soon as he put his coffee cup to his lips the way he did, I was
exactly.
Like, we're out of here.
Beside the profile view, yeah.
Yeah, I can't let that stand. All right, we have time for a quick mashup, if you're so inclined.
Sweet, yes.
These are, let's do Scott the Leaf Bee. Oh, this is probably when I grab the bee.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Spoilers, let people discover the Scott.
That's
the,
true.
The surprise ending of the story.
I really shouldn't be giving it away, so I'll let you guys decide whether you're entertained by this or not. This is Scott and the Leaf Bee. Enjoy.
Once again, pull up a chair as Scott and Brian share a story by the fire. What will they talk about today?
I want to share a story with you that happened to me yesterday.
All right.
And, you know, I like to jog. I like to get out there in the heat and get my workout on.
That's right. Yes. I'm very good about that.
And so I'm out there and decided to go with the dog. So I have the dog with me and she's doing great. We're out there doing it. And I've told you the story about how I was going around to some of the trees and the low hanging dead leaves I would grab and crinkle up.
Right. You crinkle them up and then throw them on the ground.
Yeah. I would just kind of sprinkle it around like fairy dust. Right. Right. And it's so tempting. I can't not do it. So I'm doing that. And I'm probably 5 or 6 trees down and I'm
I'm on this path where there's like a ton of trees lining it all the way down. I'm like, yeah, dude, the mother load. So just cranking along, and one of these looks like the greatest piece of low-hanging crunchy fruit you've ever seen. It's a leaf that's kind of wrapped around itself, like in a cocoon almost.
Okay.
So I reach up and I grab it and I go crunch, and then I hear this. I hear this emanating from my hand. And I go, what the? And I feel something moving. I open my hand. There's, you know, shatterings of leaves all in my hand. And I look down. It's almost like slow motion. Like, I look down and there is a giant hornet hanging out in there. That was like his little hangout, like lunchtime place or something.
My home this is.
Terrible food you have or whatever. And knowing that hornets will sting you at will and just do it a ton of times. And sometimes their stinger doesn't fall out. So they sting you a bunch more. And, you know, like all these things run through my head. I'm 8 years old again. Mm-hmm. I panic so bad with that hand, you know, the leaf in my hand. And here I am in my 40s, jogging around, you know. And I see it. I open it. It's still sitting in there, but it's kind of flipping out like I hurt it maybe or, you know, semi-crippled it. And then I kind of like slow motion just staring at it. And I can actually feel my hand shaking. And then it starts to take flight. Now, normally people just go, oh, I just let it go.
I'm sure.
Like that. And I threw my hands in the air. I'm forgetting I even have the dog. I've got her retractable leash, you know. I toss that. Now it's doing like a vacuum cord when you hit the vacuum button. It goes. But she's being chased by the handle of the retractable leash, which seems to, you know, in her case, she's having her own psychosis because this plastic thing is just chasing her as she runs. It's not stopping. So I finally get her under control, get me under control. And then I look up and I look around and I notice there's a good 5-6 people doing various things within sight distance of what I had just done.
Are any of them just like looking at you, holding up an iPhone or anything like that?
As far as I know, this did not make it to anybody's camera roll or YouTube or anything. Oh, I hope, man. Oh, look, if that turns up, all bets are off, because I cannot imagine how stupid I must have looked. Well, there you go. Another story.
That's a great one.
Yeah. From the archives gathered by TMS Mashups on Twitter. Jamie does an amazing job. Good job, dude. I'd forgotten some of the details, like the dog getting chased. She does this. I accidentally drop that retractable thing, she thinks the world's ending. She just runs from
it. It catches. It's always faster than her.
Yeah, yeah. She hates it. She's not a fan. Anyway, thank you for that. TMS Mashups on Twitter if you want to suggest to him stories you've heard in the past you'd like to hear earthed up and talked about again here on this show. If you've got a moment, go and give us a vote for the title today, everybody. Those who are here live, frogpants.showbot.tv. And if you are still on the fence about whether you like the show enough to support it monetarily, I've got good news for you. There's a link you can go to and make it easy. Frogpants.com/TMS has all the links there. Or if you'd rather go direct, patreon.com/TMS and help us out.
Yes.
All right.
We're going to do our special patron only show probably after you get back from your trip.
Yeah, yeah. I should be.
Because I don't think it's happening before.
Yeah, let me think. When do I? So I just want to get this straight in my head. I leave Friday morning, so there's no PM.
Right. No AM on Monday.
No AM on Monday. I get home Monday afternoon sometime, probably later. And then Tuesday. I think Tuesday is the next time we're together. So it's like a week from today we'll be doing this. Yeah. Unless I die in a fiery plane crash.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, that could happen. So just looking forward to that. Not the plane crash, the getting back part. And wow. And if you want to send in your thoughts and comments in the meantime, we can we'll hold on to your emails. We're happy to do it. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. All right, let's get out of here. Brian, you got a little deal there? Some kind of thing?
I do. This one is going out to Clakey D. C-L-A-K-Y-D. I know I've seen that name in the chat room. I don't know Clakey D's real name, but I do know that tomorrow is Clakey D's birthday. 26 is my birthday, and I have an unhealthy love for Britney Spears' music. Can you play Melanie Martinez's cover of Toxic? If not, any Britney cover would be great. Also, do you have any scooters?
Oh, man.
I know a while back you had a hard time finding our scooter.
Yeah,
ladies.
I can't find. So let's try what this one is.
We got scooters.
No.
I got.
No.
We got scooters.
No.
We got scooters.
All I have is the little kid ones. I don't know where the old lady one is. I'll find
it. That second one, though, is the best one. Because we got daughters.
I know. It's almost like the kid ones are better anyway, but it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right. So a cover of Toxic by Melanie Martinez. Melanie Martinez, musician, vocalist, also appeared in one of the more recent seasons of The Voice. I don't know which one. I haven't watched that show in a while. But She does a great version, and it's kind of that. I guess this was back in 2012 that she was on The Voice and did this. There we go. That's the answer to my question. Here is Melanie Martinez and her cover of Britney Spears' "Toxic."
Here it is. We'll see you guys next time. Tomorrow.
Baby, can you see that I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous that I'm falling. There's no escape, I can't wait. I need a hit, baby, give me it. You're dangerous, now I'm loving it. Too high, can't come down. Losing my head, spin around, dead round. Do you feel me now? Taste of lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under with the taste of your voice. It's getting late to give you up. I took a sip from my devil's cup. Slowly, it's taking over me. Too high, can't come down. Losing my head, spin around and round. Do you feel?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You got any candy cigarettes?
Nope.